Hi, everyone. Gideon here. We've got something special for you today. Everything you need to know ahead of the final World Cup match between Spain and the reigning world champs, Argentina. Rebecca Lowe and Brendan Hunt, the co-hosts of our World Cup podcast, After the Whistle, have been tirelessly following every single match of this record-breaking tournament. Today, they're going to break down what Spain and Argentina are going to have to do on the pitch if they want to take home the title. Stick around for that episode and follow After the Whistle wherever you get your podcasts. They're on social media as well if you search for at After the Whistle Apple. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll be back with the news tomorrow.
So which do you prefer, Lando Gulrissian or Lando Cantmissian?
Gulrissian.
Yes! Yes!
I love that. You answered that so
it took 17 years! Oh!
I'm glad I created that moment for you.
I'm Brendan Hunt.
And I'm Rebecca Lowe, and this is After the Whistle from Apple News.
We've got a special guest today, honored to have Landon Donovan join us here in New York City to tell us all about his very eventful World Cup.
Plus, we'll give you the story behind the absolute chaos of our last episode of After the Whistle. And of course, we will talk about the epic final between France and England, just kidding, between Spain and Argentina.
Reminder, there will be adult language.
Some of it from Landon Donovan.
This podcast is brought to you by Verizon, an official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. No one gets you closer to the FIFA World Cup than Verizon.
Rebecca!
We're here.
We're here.
The day before it all ends.
Yeah. Then we know that it's the day before it ends because it's the day of the third place game.
I don't know about you, but I've been looking forward to the third place game.
I actually almost didn't make it here today because I woke up with a pretty severe case of bronze final fever.
Did you think I got to get to Miami for this? I got to be there in person for this clash.
I was so close. I'm like, oh gosh, I can get one ticket, but then I'd have to leave the wife behind and she'd never forgive me.
No.
If I didn't bring her to the bronze final.
Especially as if it actually could go to extra time. We could get 30 more minutes of that third place playoff and penalties. The only penalty shootout that if you miss, no one cares. No one cares.
We'll also talk about the World Cup final between Spain and Argentina. But America continues to be the most baffled country by this one particular aspect of the World Cup, which is that we still have a third place game. England's coach Tatu came out this week openly saying,
"Bless him."
Is he still coach? Is he still coach? Yeah. You can't change coaches before the third place game.
I think you'll find who changed coaches after about one game of this tournament.
No, it was Tunisia.
Right.
Yeah.
We could take a leaf out of their book.
But what good would it be at this point? You would throw people off before their third place playoff. So
they didn't have a manager at all. That would be kind of fun.
Well, that would be fun, actually.
Right?
He openly came out and say no one wants to play this game. No one wants to play this game. Can we stop doing this? And this has been a call that people have sounded for some time, but in particular now, when it is a 104 game, 8-round tournament, we don't fucking want nor need the third place game. Like, it wins points to me only for, like, being such a, like, a quirk, such a little curiosity. But now it's exhausting. Stop it.
104 games, 104 degrees is what it's going to be in Miami for this third.
Really?
No, I made that up just to make the link. But I wouldn't be surprised. Would you? No. Now, the third place playoff for me is just do one. Get out. We don't want it. The only time it ever has a smidgen of okay is if it were to be like a tiny country that had a Cinderella run.
Or if it's a home team. If it's a home team and or like, because when Croatia's in the third place game, they love it. They can't get enough. But
imagine. But I think they should judge it. So I know they will never do this, you can't do this. But we should just wait. And then whoever makes it, we then decide if we have it.
Yeah.
Right? We're not having
England,
it.
France? Oh, they're not going to be very excited about it. We should do it. Croatia, Mexico? Okay. Okay, third place game, let's go.
Sign me up.
But there's another game this weekend that, it's a real afterthought, the World Cup final between your European champion Spain and your South American / world champion Argentina. There's never been that kind of matchup in a World Cup final, either of those options, as we announced As we broke, I think we broke that news here after the whistle on our last episode.
Was that the last episode in front of the prisoner van in a car park with barbed wire, wire fencing, flashing police lights? Was it that gorilla podcast you were talking about?
I blacked out. Okay. I don't really remember much of anything. I remember we had a large man to protect us, and then a larger man came over to try to start a fight with that large man. And then
we have to real quick tell the story real quick. We were doing the 7 or so minutes we managed to do in the first secret location that we were probably not quite fully welcoming. Welcoming, I think, is the phrase.
But also, we were doing no one any harm,
no harm,
nor any security risk, and there were still thousands of people in the seats at this mystery location.
Correct. I mean, we were just no trouble. And then some trouble happened in our ears, because you and I try and have a conversation, and all we can hear is a person saying, they've got to stop, they've got to stop. It got so bad that the direct quote was, if they don't stop filming, I'm going to walk in front of the camera in 3, 2, 1, at which point we stopped filming. But now I feel like we should have allowed the security guard to walk in front of the camera, because what an out that would have been. Just a big, burly, beefy chap, and then it just goes to black, and we turn up again in front of wire fence. That was actually my favorite, most raw episode we've ever done. Thank you. I know everybody actually really enjoyed it, I think, even though if it was like
a little crazy. We thank you for your support. We were confused and terrified.
We were terrified.
But again, who knows where we were when we shot that, but tomorrow's match will take place in a stadium. MetLife Stadium, to which I have never been. Nor did I go to Giant Stadium back in the day. I hear this one's quite the improvement. We're going to get into this a little bit with our lovely guest, Landon Donovan, who's coming up here. But, like, let's talk about where these teams are coming from, what they've been like. Like, Spain, you know, did not give up a single goal for their first 5 matches. Then they gave up 1 against Belgium. And, like, oh, then you're like, well, are they cracking? And then they come in against France and just handle them. Handle them. Win 2-0. We didn't get to talk about it because, again, we were busy being shunted from a odd circumstance. They just were completely untroubled by one of the best attacks in the history of the World Cup. Like, they just didn't care at all. I watched that game from the press box, my one and only press box journey of this World Cup. Among my notes, I had, speaking of the Spanish goalkeeper, Unai Simón, he is unflappable. He cannot be flapped.
He is without flap.
He's without flap. He's a zonder flap, as my Dutch friends would say.
Which, by the way, is quite interesting, considering that was one of the few, controversial is probably too strong a word, but discussion points about this Spain team, because they have two other very good goalkeepers, including your guy, David Raya, who many people think is the best in the world, and yet he seems to be third choice. And we actually talked about this earlier on in the tournament. For me, that game was all about Rodri. That guy had an ACL recently. Has come back, and he was patchy for City in the, and when I say patchy, I don't really mean performance. I mean just in and out, because when you have, I'm told, when you have ACLs like that, you then get so many other injuries because the rest of your body is kind of overcompensating and all the things. Pep said it earlier in the season. Pep Guardiola, the City manager, said the best Rodri you're going to see is at the World Cup. Now, why he said that, I don't know whether he just could tell or whether he knew that it would take a little more time or that he could see what we couldn't see yet, which is his trajectory is only going one way. But my goodness. Rodri, Ballon d'Or Rodri right there.
And we didn't know it when the World Cup started that that was going to happen, but he has gotten better and better and better. And yeah, absolutely, that France game, he just is like, oh, this is, we are now at full metal Rodri. This is something. By the way, another trivia fact that I found this out myself, which can be confirmed by our crack research staff. This is the first World Cup final that has a matchup between two Ballon d'Or winners since 1974.
Wow, that's a great line.
Thank you.
I'm going to steal that and put that straight in the pregame.
Please, please, feel free to mention me as you didn't on Seth Meyers. Anyway, it's okay. Seth didn't mention me either. Neither one of you did.
Do you know
both
what?
Of you. So,
I did
so
think
important
that
in my life.
They could have had it, especially if Seth was on the pod a few years ago. Seth
I remember. So
take it up with Seth, okay? It's his show.
Rodri and Simone. I mean, not directly the spine, but like right there with each other. But here, one other thing I thought I kind of noticed, and again, like, we get into like stuff like tactics, like I'm winging it on tactics, folks. I'm here for trivia and yucks. But it seemed like one thing that got exposed for France in that game, that, you know, France seemed to be, you know, without flaw, really. Mm-hmm. But Spain kind of exposed that their fullbacks were a problem, like Dean and to a lesser degree Koundé, like, not their strongest plays, and, you know, Cucurella and Porro just kind of cutting through them, and then Porro eventually, you know, scoring, you know, of course, with a fortunate bounce to him, but still. And I look at Argentina, and fullback is not their strong point either. Talifico and Melina, like, I don't know about that.
I agree. It all depends on whether the occasion gets to Spain at all and allows Argentina to, despite their flaws, to imprint themselves on this game in the way that only they can, right?
With emotion. Yeah, to unleash chaos in the way that they've done that they seems to suit them, but causes everyone else to feel chaos.
Yeah.
But Spain, again, the lack of flap, you know, and like they've just won a Euro final. How thrown could they get?
Do you think there will be any yellow cards this time? Or do you think Argentina will just apparently never get booked? I'm sorry, still slightly hurting about that. But they will take their physical game. Mm-hmm. So it'll just basically come down to whether Spain, as you say, can just do Spain things that we've seen all tournament and especially against France, or whether Argentina with the knife fight that they bring, which one's stronger? It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah. I also, I think I'm going to be the first person probably to want to talk about this, but can we talk about this Messi fella? Because here's the fucking thing. I feel like I came into this World Cup so sure that at 39 he was going to eventually like flame out, and then like then he was scoring early, but I was like, but you know, against the lesser opposition, and like, and then the you know,
get tired,
knockouts, and like, okay, he's you know, and then I was so focused on the Jorginho watch that when he dropped the Jorginho watch, I was like, I was right, he's tiring, but I know he still had 3 assists in the last 2 games. I mean, the Enzo Fernandez assist is like, how much did he really help Enzo Fernandez there? Enzo Fernandez, kind of 99.9.
But the other assist is pretty good.
The other assist, that's proper, and won the game. But like, he's 39. He's 39. I found a thing on Reddit, of all places, from a user named Gapworky. That's two P's. Gapperky. A great chart of various legends of the game and if they had played in World Cups until Messi's age in World Cups, what would have been their last World Cup? And some of these are incredible.
Go.
First of all, I mean, George Best never played in a World Cup at all. But if George Best played until Messi was playing, he would have been in a World Cup in 1986.
Wow.
Baggio, 2006. Romario, 2006. Socrates, 2004. Wayne Rooney.
What?
Wayne Rooney, 2022.
No way!
Ruud Gullit and Marco van Basten, 2002. I mean, Holland didn't qualify for that World Cup, but still, that would have been something. Cruyff, Johan Cruyff. Some people call him Cruyff, and they're wrong. 86.
Jeez.
Pelé, 78. Oh. Beckenbauer, 82. Like, this is...
Yeah, this is crazy.
Like, it really helps illustrate. Like, Bobby Charlton, that's not too crazy, 1974. But, like, Eusebio! the Golden Boot winner of 66, 82. He would have been playing.
Brendan.
It's madness.
But here's what's maybe even more mad. He comes into this World Cup. People are like, oh, he plays in Major League Soccer. Well, this is people outside of America. Oh, he plays in Major League Soccer. He probably won't bring it, right? He'll maybe score one goal in the group stage and that'll be it. Well, he has just come back at everybody, okay? He may well, probably will, win the Golden Boot. I think he might be back in 4 years' time.
Oh, my Lord.
You can't bet against him. How can you bet against him? Because, by the way, the way he comes back in 4 years is now off the bench. Which will be weird and bizarre, but it's like, would you rather have Messi for 20 minutes than no Messi? Yeah, even at 43?
Famously, Father Time, undefeated, 43 years old.
You heard it here first. We'll talk about it after the whistle, 2030. Just saying.
I mean, that would be unprecedented. That would, I assume, make him the oldest World Cup player of all time, including goalkeepers.
Certainly outfield.
I mean, Peter Shilton might have been 57 in 1990. I'm not sure about that. He's weirdly not on this chart. So, good Lord.
Okay, so give me a prediction.
It's so crazy because, again, as you put it, you know, Argentina bringing a knife fight to, you know, an art gallery is about what it is. But in the end, I think what happened to England will happen again. What happened to England and to Cape Verde and to Egypt and to Switzerland. Not quite to Switzerland, but I think Spain go up and then they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And, you know, it's not exactly tiki-taka anymore. I get that. But doing a little tiki-taka back and forth and la, 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 we're having a good time. And suddenly one of them gets punched in the face and it's 1-1. And then soon it's 2-1. So I think Argentina come from behind to win.
Wow.
And by the way, I've gotten, as some might have noted here, and I hopefully no one has, but I'm going to be honest about it anyway, I've gotten literally every single prediction wrong this entire tournament.
I didn't want to bring it up.
To the point, I was at Minimblaze the other day, and our great friend, the great Roger Bennett, who has already made fun of me on this pod for horrible predictions, because I absolutely shed the bed in Australia too. He pimped me into like, and Brendan, you're great at predictions. What do you see for today? And like, oh, okay, Roger, you see what you're doing. But so I want to remind everyone, in 2022, I said it was going to be Argentina.
You did. You did.
And I enjoyed that because I really hate when there's like a clear sort of best athlete, but about whom people are like, yeah, but he never did, you know, blank. And like, I love when someone ends that conversation. And to the degree that there might still be any debate about whether or not Messi is the best footballer of all time, it would be even further eroded if he were to win again. And so I think it'd be pretty awesome if he won. I'm really just rooting for a good game, but
I'm looking at it from a couple of perspectives, which affects my prediction, really. I'm looking at it from I just want a good game. I just want a good game for my job, for my show. That's what I want. I just want a really blooming good game. The only way it's a good game is if Argentina win, I think, because I think it'll be, if Spain win comfortably, it could be like 3-4-0, and that's not a great spectacle. So for Argentina,
well, worse, it could be 1-0.
Or it could be 1-0, exactly. Yeah. But your prediction would make it a great game. But I'm trying to work out for my child, okay? So very lucky child of mine has a ticket. What do I want for 10-year-old Teddy? Do I want him to witness with his own eyes, Messi lifting his second World Cup and maybe probably, let's be honest, his last? Or do I want him seeing Lamine Yamal, somebody that Teddy's 10, Lamine has just turned 19, somebody that he can not relate to, but more, you know, sort of imagine, because Teddy's got dreams, right? Like every 10-year-old kid. Does that inspire
him? He won't for long, don't worry about it.
Does that inspire him more? So I don't, because also he's probably going to see Messi. This is the last time he's ever going to play for Argentina, do you think? I don't know, actually.
Not according to you.
No.
According to you, he's been back in 4 years.
I know. So I don't really, I think Spain are going to win it. I think it'd be quite straightforward. I think they might overpower that knife fight situation. But for my kid, he wants Spain. Teddy wants Spain, but that's because he's still grieving over Argentina. He's just not letting that go, 10-year-old Ted. I think on reflection, it would be better for him to have seen Messi lift the World Cup. He just doesn't know it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well said. But gosh, I hope they can get in the heat. I hope it rains today. We've had horrible air here in New York, as so much of the continent is having right now with the fires in Canada. But it's supposed to rain today, which would clear that out a bit.
I hope so.
But then hopefully it's not hot as hell. Both these teams played indoors for their semifinal, so like they might have forgotten what it feels like to play football the rest of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see if they still have the energy to get through a unprecedented 8th game of a World Cup. They'll probably all be watching the third place game really close. I mean, they would anyway.
Back just to that. As can lovers we go back of football, to that, actually?
But then they can see how people deal with their 8th game because, of course, of all the 22 English and French players are going to be giving their absolute all.
Can we actually get to break? Because I just want to get out of here. I'm just excited. I want all the build up. All right. This is After the Whistle from Apple News on third place playoff day.
The sound you hear is the sound of the third place playoff parade happening outside. We'll be right back. We all wish we could get as close as possible to the action of the FIFA World Cup 2026, and no one gets you closer than Verizon.
In fact, Verizon has given away tickets to the FIFA World Cup 2026 for customers coast to coast.
And some lucky customers are even getting pitch-side access, meaning they'll be able to watch some of the action from up close on the field.
If you're not a Verizon customer, it's not too late to switch. Bring in your AT&T, T-Mobile, Spectrum, or Xfinity bill for a better deal.
You must provide a very recent post-paid consumer mobile bill in the name of the person redeeming the deal. Additional terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
No one gets you closer to the FIFA World Cup than Verizon.
It's After the Whistle. It's our penultimate episode.
I know.
Which is fancy for second to last. Might be a Shakespeare word. I'm not quite sure. We were lucky to even get in here today because the New York City streets are crackling with energy for today's third place game. Mm-hmm. Also, the finals tomorrow, but no one's talking about that right now. Here to help us bring forward all that third place game day.
To break down the third place game.
That's why you're here.
Great. Is the one and only USMNT legend and Fox Broadcasting stalwart now, which we're going to get into that too. Please welcome Mr. Landon Donovan.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
So, you know, like when you watch a show or you listen to a show and then you find yourself on the show, you've done this too. Like you were on Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is actually really cool to be on it. Because I love listening and I love watching and then it's cool to be here. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, Landon.
I love it.
We'll leave with a scarf.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
you have been broadcasting this World Cup. You are still working, even though you're not in a booth at the moment because they ran out of games, which I can't believe they ever ran out of games. There were so many goddamn games. And we talked, I don't know if you heard that particular episode, since apparently you've been listening. I have a particular delight in you and Ian Dark being a team now, basically.
Yeah, we're a team.
Both enjoyable to hear, but also like because you guys are sort of attached, you know, by proxy in a big historical moment that now we sort of like get to re-enjoy that moment. I don't know if you do really, but the rest of us do every time you guys are together. So yeah, how have you,
it's really
how have you
cool.
found Ian?
He's like your grandpa. So like through this tournament, Bex, you know this, we're traveling and you get flights delayed and canceled and the game and someone doesn't let you through security and whatever. So he's like a grumpy old grandpa most of the time. And he'll be like, I'm done. I'm never working again, you know? And then the next morning, I'd be like, all right, great game today. Can't wait for this one. I'm like, I thought you were done, you know? Be like, I'm never going back to that stadium. Oh, or I'm never, right? God. So he's like your grumpy old grandpa, but he's so sweet because he, like, he just genuinely loves this game. He really does. And what he's so good at, and you'll understand this well, he makes every game about the game and a little bit about the analyst he's next to help bring you the game a little deeper. Mm-hmm. But it's never, ever, ever about him. Yeah. It's not. And there are other people. Now I listen like with a more trained ear. Yeah. And I can tell the people kind of make it about them and they're trying to build their career. And all, and that's fine. I get that. I understand that. But it's just about he wants the game to be this beautiful like pageantry. And he wants to be a little bit of the soundtrack to it. And the person next to him bring it to life a little bit, and then that's it.
But I think that is partly his generation. I do think that generation is very purist about football
commentary.
Very
much so.
And football commentary has changed. But one of the things I laughed about was when Brendan brought this up a few weeks ago on his bits and bobs. We do a bit at the end, the bits and bobs. And he's like, my bits and bob is Landon and Ian. And I said, one of the funniest bits, though, is on your social media where I the grandpa thing I can almost see because I feel like you're doing selfies in like private jets. And I can imagine you like, Ian, can you get over here? We're doing a selfie. And he's like, for God's sake. It's
he'll
so
be like
sweet.
This. He'll go. And then he's back to his lesson. Thing. He's like, get out. Leave me alone.
But you have had a few travel nightmares.
We have.
So that has, and is that the sort of thing, Landon, I feel like in a few weeks you'll look back and be like, oh my gosh, that was kind of all part of it. Or will you forever be like quite tainted
know,
by that?
In the moment, we've all had travel. In the moment, you're like, I'm done. Like, yeah, I'm 100%. Like, I'm calling Fox. I'm like, guys, it's been fun, but I'm going home because it is so miserable.
Just tell us the worst one for the people who don't know.
I don't want to like drag it on and on, but we had a like 5-hour delay. We're supposed to go to New York, ended up landing in DC because there was weather in New York, and then got off the plane. They told us we were going to fly to New York, so we got back on the plane. Then our pilots timed out, so we had to get back off the plane. New pilots came. So we got back on the plane and then those pilots timed out. So it was 3 a.m. and we had a game that day. So we took a 5-hour Uber at 3 a.m. to New York City from D.C. and then called a game that day.
I wonder
it was
if that Uber driver's ever gotten back to his way.
So he goes, listen to this. So I call the Uber and we get to the Uber and he goes, hi, nice to see you. It's 3 a.m. I'm like, what the hell are you doing awake? It's 3 a.m. Nice to see you. The sweetest guy. And I said, yeah, we're going to New York. And he goes, what? And I said, we're going to New York. And he's like, oh, I didn't look at the thing. I just accepted that.
No.
And I went, oh, no. My heart sank. And he goes, it's no problem. And he was wide awake. He goes, I go like 3 times a week to New York. I just need to call my wife until I'll be a little bit later home from work today. So he
brilliant.
Called his wife and then he took off. It was great.
But I'm coming home rich.
Yeah, hey, totally. I'm like, you didn't see that it was a $1,200 fare on your thing? Like, it was great.
What game was it they had to do?
I mean, I couldn't tell you what game I'm doing tomorrow. I have no idea. Zero.
I mean, I know it's hard to sort of like enjoy the game to a degree when you're working them, but did you have a favorite game?
Oh,
that
no,
you
I enjoy them. This is going to sound really weird. Just take it for what it is. We called the one blowout in the tournament, Germany Curaçao.
Oh, right, the start.
7-1 game. But when I have goosebumps. When Curaçao scored, down to our right, there were like the 6,000 Curaçao fans. They went, can I cuss on this?
Oh, you sure can, man.
They went apeshit. And I off my headset and I was like, man, you fucking deal with this. Like, I'm just sat. Aww. And I was like, and it brought me so much joy. so much joy that one moment. And they didn't care. They lost 7-1, but they were tied with Germany for like 35,
for a bit there.
35 minutes in. They're tied with Germany.
I know.
This little island. I was like, oh, it was awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it.
Remember Dick Advocaat crying at that point, you know, fussy old Dutchman.
Totally.
Yeah, it was
incredible. Do you have a favorite one?
That I attended? I've been able to get to a few. I think for full-on spectacle of it, probably England-Croatia was super fun.
Must have been
but
cool.
Then on like a more personal level, USA-Paraguay was just so
electric.
So surprising. You know, like you know, obviously I'm a dumb optimist fan. Every 4 years I learn nothing. so I was hoping for a good result, but I was not expecting that kind of performance. So.
Were you shocked by that day?
Landon, that day, I said to you, we did a slightly insane podcast that night where I was coming off adrenaline, literally from SoFi straight there. You were coming off maybe a couple of glasses of
right, I think some rosé might have slipped
in. And
me.
A high, just a natural high.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think, and this is partly because we just started on Fox, I was on day two and it had gone well. So I think it was a mixture of like the relief that, okay, this went well, but also the performance and everything. And there was something in the air. That day was actually one of my favorite of my whole life.
Cool.
I really think it was.
I felt the
same
way.
So proud, partly as well, because I just get it a lot from a lot of people about the US as a host nation and how it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And then they can't even play football and they don't know anything about football. And then they did that. And I was like, oh, thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
That has just answered so many people.
Totally.
And I know it didn't end how we wanted it to end against Belgium, but they still had have a lot of credit in the bank to a lot of people, mainly because of that day.
That day was incredible.
It was incredible to be there and witness it. I want to talk about moving forward and how this country, because a little bit to what I just said there about get such a bad rap. We know that for lots of reasons, football and non-football, right? But I feel like, and I want to know how you feel, like there's a lot of work to be done and you are hopefully going to do a lot of work in the youth space, definitely. And we're all behind you on that. But in terms of football in this country, I feel like it's a seminal moment. And it's the seminal moment that we feel has been coming for a while. But I'm getting messages, Landon, from people that that are so far removed from football, who are now like, oh, we love it. We've booked tickets for this now. We're going to go and see Sacramento Republic, which is our local, you know, and they're going to NWSL. And you think, is this going to actually carry on? I think it is a seminal moment. What do you think?
There's no question. I mean, I'm a living example. In 94, I went to watch Argentina, Romania in the Rose Bowl for the first time. And I knew nothing about the soccer world at that time. I just played soccer. I loved soccer. I played soccer. I knew nothing about the world. And when I went to that game, I remember going home because I went with my buddy and his dad. And I went home and I was like, Mom, I want to do that. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how many millions of young girls and boys watched this summer and were like, wow, let's go play soccer.
You don't have to go to a game. I said this beforehand when people are like, oh, kids are going to get priced out, which obviously
we
wish they could have been cheaper tickets, of course.
Not,
but you don't have to go.
I mean,
this is the summer of these kids' life.
That's
just
right.
Watching it on TV, right?
Yeah, and it being in a time zone where they can.
So they can be
that's
influenced
exactly,
by that.
Yeah, if you remember, someone said that because Russia was a weird time zone for us. Mm-hmm. Qatar was a weird time zone. So there are a bunch of 10, 12-year-olds who have never watched the World Cup. And so now they're going, oh my God, this is crazy.
Maybe it'll be a drip, drip, drip effect. And then maybe when those 10-year-olds...
No, it will be. But this is what happened in 94, Rebecca. And it's what happened in 2010 when we had an amazing moment in 2014 is it starts to build a generation of soccer fans. And you never know, a 12-year-old kid today might have watched the U.S. this summer. And in 15 years, they have a child. And maybe that child becomes the next superstar. Right,
because
they're now
in.
Watching soccer instead of watching another. And you won't know for a long time. But like, I have a picture. There's a picture of me and Carlos Bocanegra with Weston McKennie when he's like 5 years old.
Oh,
he came to a game.
That gives me chills.
Right, and now he's a superstar for the U.S.
That's
so you
like
just never know.
Your version of Messi and Yamal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it is.
There's levels to these things.
Just soccer players are constantly bathing children. Such a strange thing. Such a strange thing. There's so many traditions. So much wonder.
It's not a tradition.
It also, like, as opposed to 94, where, you know, I mean, with exception for, like, kids who were just already, you know, playing the soccer ton as you were, like, now, just culturally, it's easier for a kid to stay immersed in it because we also have it on TV.
Correct.
Constantly. You know,
correct.
Like, what now the World Cup's over, what do I do? Oh, you can just keep watching soccer because it's
that's
on.
Right.
Well, now that you know about it, it's on all the fucking time.
And let's not because you're here, but you've played a big part in that too. My 10-year-old son watches. He's watched Ted Lasso 14 times all the way through, and we're like, okay. The language they use.
I know, Teddy's the same. We've had that exact conversation.
But there's all these little pieces of it that are helping build the sport. And it's been so fun to watch. As someone who's loved it their whole life, it's awesome.
Moving forward now for you, and I know you've talked a lot about this, but the youth side of sport means a lot to me because of my little boy, Teddy, who's 10. And he plays soccer and wants to be a soccer player like a million others. And we know there are problems in this country, but we don't have to get into the weeds of that, but what is your first step now that the World Cup is almost done and you're kind of going, what is your first step to trying to fix, please, Lantern, soccer youth landscape?
First is educating, because now we have so many people, this happens every 4 years. We have a lot of people who now are all of a sudden soccer experts in every way. And that's like, and even people I played with or people who are in the sport, and you're just like, okay, stop, because you're just spreading bad information, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to educate people. There is a lot right with soccer in this country. Mm-hmm. But if we ever want to compete at the level of an England or mm-hmm. a France or a Spain, or you have to have the players. The beauty of America is we believe we can do anything. Mm. But it's also becomes a downfall sometimes, because people are like, this summer we can do it. And then we play Belgium and you're like, they're kind of better, right? And that's like here. That's not here. That's not Spain and France. They just have better players. It's just the reality. And the reason why is because they develop better players, and we don't do that yet. And so we have to start educating people to understand that we're still really far behind. We can still believe every 4 years. I'm not like... But the reality is it's going to be pretty hard until we have players that can play.
Do you have enough people in your camp to start that education process? Because that's a big old country to educate.
Not only that, there's also a cultural issue, right? And the other beauty of America is we believe winning is vital. Mm-hmm. And it's why we do so many amazing things in this country. But we don't need 8-year-olds to be winning, right? Mm-hmm. And even like at my home, my 3 kids play soccer. My wife will be on the field and she'll be like, we have to win this game because the final. And I'm like, babe,
yeah,
relax. Like, it's okay. And right. And that's my wife. And I'm talking about this openly all the time. So we have to start to prioritize the kids enjoying the game, having fun, and wanting to keep playing. If you prioritize the winning and the stress around, if you don't do this, you won't be good. If you don't get the private lessons, you're not going to get to high school team. If you don't do that, you're not going to get to college. We have to change that mentality.
So one final question on this.
Yeah.
Do you actually think that's possible?
It's a great question. I've asked myself the same question. I don't know. This is what I hope happens. What I hope happens is you start to do it. You build a club, or you build clubs. Youth clubs, and you start to do it in a different way. And other people, as a parent, you go to a game now and you see Teddy playing another team, and you look on the other sideline and the parents are at peace, sitting there happily, not yelling, not screaming at the ref. They're just mm-hmm. happy. The kids are having so much fun. They're joyful. They're running around having an amazing time. And you look over and go, shoot, I want that for Teddy too. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want, and I'm just using him as an example, mm-hmm. but like, I don't want the stress and the coach yelling at him and yelling at the refs and the sidelines crazy. I don't really want that. And so maybe then you prove the concept that way and people start to go, okay, I want that. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe it's idealistic, but we'll see.
I'm sure because we don't know if this is going to be the first segment or the second segment, but I'm sure that in our segment, me and Rebecca and I are going to talk about is third place game. So
all of it.
Let's just, out of obligation, just allude to Spain, Argentina. I mean, how do you feel about this final? First of all, do you feel like it's the two best teams? And then how do you feel it's going to go?
I feel it's the two best teams. Yeah, probably two best teams. Here's my conundrum. And I picked Spain to win the tournament before this tournament started, right? The way they dismantled France was, I'm not being hyperbolic, this was a top five performance I've ever seen in my life. And I watched it live. And I went... Wow. I was sitting back there behind on the set where you guys were, mm-hmm. and I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is crazy, because we called, Ian and I called 2 or 3 France games. I'm like, they're unstoppable. I don't know how you stop this team. And Spain just like calmly methodically, yeah, with precision, just picked them apart, and they were in such control the whole game.
They somehow made it look easy. It was
completely
nuts.
Easy. I don't even think they were sweating by the end of the game. I was like, this is, you like, we saw England, Argentina. Both teams are dead on the field, spent, sweating. Spain walked off like, okay, nice game. Let's go have some tapas and we'll get out of here. I was like, this is wild. So I have that in my brain, right? But we're watching the greatest player who's ever played the world's most popular sport in person. And we're watching him over and over and over do things that are superhuman. And he's 39. And my brain is telling me, how could you ever bet against that? Like, you've seen him do it time and time and time again in this tournament. I was going back and watching some of his highlights when he was in his 20s. I was like, are you kidding me? I forget how good he was then. Yeah. He was 39 doing it now. So I don't know how you bet against that. So I'm like, I don't ever sit on the fence on things. I'm like, I don't know how you pick, because they just find a way to keep winning.
He wins the World Cup. He wins the Ballon d'Or.
That's a good question. Oh, Jesus. I mean,
how can you not?
How can you not? How can you not? And it's not like he's been bad for his club team. He's been great for Inter Miami. Oh, you Europeans would go absolutely berserk if an MLS player won the Ballon d'Or.
Great for Major League Soccer, though, wouldn't it?
Phenomenal. Oh, I would love to see it.
I have one last bits and bobs style question. Oh. Landon, I don't know if you remember the first time we met, but it was on a television set on the now defunct, in fact, almost immediately defunct soccer themed talk show that was hosted by Mr. Kyle Martino on the now defunct Fox Soccer channel, and he had a second banana. That was me.
I
worked two episodes, and then the third
one
was
really come a long way.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
Feels good. I can't get Kyle to return my calls, but
I can't either. Nobody can.
I asked you a question that had been haunting me and my friend Seth Myers, who just had Rebecca on his show the other day, but we had two nicknames for you at that point, and I asked you to choose which one, and at the time you said you didn't like either one. I want to make sure that's still the case. So which do you prefer, Lando Gulrissian or Lando Cantmissian?
Gulrissian.
Yes! Yes!
I love that. You answered that so
it 17 years! Oh, great.
Can I say one other thing?
Sure.
So in 2002, I'm glad I created that moment for you. In 2002, after the World Cup, we came home and we did like the talk show circuit a little bit. Some of us did. Went to New York and did. So I went on David Letterman and I was like, This is so cool. Cause at the time David Letterman was like, I was like, so I'll get to the green room and like, I'll get to meet him and say hi and he'll come over and say, and then like the time was clicking. Da-da. And I'm like, okay. And so they're all right, time to go on. So we go on, we do the 5-minute interview, whatever. I never say hi to the guy. I never meet the guy. I never hang out with him. And it kind of reminded me of that today because you came into the green room, you said hi, you're very kind and friendly. And then I'm like, oh, Bex, of course Bex will be coming in. Like, I know her, she'll come say hi, whatever. And then we get here, we do this. I'm sure I'll leave and then you guys will continue the show and that'll kind of be it. And that's how I know she's made it.
No, Landon.
Is that not true?
That's not true. Well, that is actually factually true. But I tell you why that happens. It's because we stay away from each other, right? Before a show, like we're getting married. We made this joke on the first episode, like the bride and groom can't see each other. Just because we talk so much, we have so much to say, and we want to save it for the pod.
So I
came in here first, and I thought I'll just see Landon when he comes in.
But you know, okay. I wasn't with him, so you could have.
Did you have a good omelet? We made you breakfast
Delicious
this morning.
Omelet.
Thank you,
Ruby.
Thank you to Ruby. Thank you to you for squeezing us in on what is a crazy weekend, I know. And you have your show, you have your live show coming up later, which is brilliant. Unfiltered Soccer with Landon and Tim is so good. So thank you for coming on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lando Gulrissian.
Thank you. Forever.
This FIFA World Cup, Verizon is turning dreams into reality.
They're giving away free tickets and pitchside access. Some lucky fans are getting the chance of a lifetime to watch the game up close on the field during gameplay, just for being a Verizon customer.
If you're not with Verizon yet, now's the time to make the switch.
This FIFA World Cup 2026, no one gets you closer than Verizon.
We now come to you with our penultimate, I'm using that word as many times as I can. I really love that word. Our penultimate bits and bobs. Rebecca, bit away.
Okay. So you do know this story, but I'm just going to share it for our viewers and listeners. So last night, my husband and my son, Teddy, my husband, Paul, my son, Teddy, came to New York because they're going to be here for the weekend. And it's basically the only time I'm going to see them is last night, quick dinner before all day. I'm busy today and obviously all day tomorrow. So we went out for dinner and we decided to sit on that street on Fifth Avenue with like 23rd-ish, I'm not quite sure, somewhere down there where all the restaurants are outside. Lovely. So we're sitting there having dinner and we pride ourselves on trying to raise our child well, okay? And one of the things we've tried to do over the years, because Teddy likes to chat, okay? Loves a chat. And we've been trying to explain, you know, when mommy and daddy are having a conversation, just wait, don't interrupt. And then when we're done, then Teddy, you can interrupt, okay? And then you can say what you want to say. So that's what we're trying to teach him because it's good manners. Well, last night, Paul and I are having a conversation, Teddy sitting there eating his dinner, and the conversation ended and he said, "Mom, is Brendan Hunt here for the World Cup final?" And I said, "Yeah, darling. Yeah, he is, because we're doing the podcast." And he goes, "Huh." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I just saw him walk past." I went, "What?" Paul and I were like, "What?" And then we were like, "Well, did you though?" So I said, "Was he wearing a hat?" He goes, "Yeah." My husband goes, "Did he have a beard?" And Teddy's like, "Yeah." And then Teddy goes, "And he was wearing like a Hawaiian shirt with little tiny flags." "Yeah, that's him." I said, "Yeah, it was 100% him." And so then, of course, I'm like, "You're kidding. Hang on, how long ago?" He's like, "Oh, a good few minutes, but I didn't want to interrupt." So then we had to have a whole one of those typical parenting conversations when you're like, okay, there are moments where you can actually do against what mum and dad tell you. That was one of them, because my husband's never met you. Teddy's never met you. Both, you know, huge fans, desperate to meet you. So then I phoned you to say, like, because I wasn't quite sure how long. And then you didn't answer because you were obviously walking on the street. Yeah. So then you text me later saying, "Did you call?" And I was like, "Yeah, Teddy thinks he saw you. Were you at this spot at this time?" You were like, "I sure was." I'm like, "I've got something for bits and bobs." So it was a great moment, but hopefully you'll meet them tomorrow. But just one of those cracking moments.
Possible that Teddy knew exactly what he was doing, and because at that age you're always looking for, like, all right, they love their rules, right? But I'm going to remind them sometimes their rules are bullshit. So he saw me. He just waited. Yeah, you don't want me to interrupt? Fine, I won't. I'm such a good boy.
Yeah, exactly. That'll teach you. Exactly. Genius. Okay, what do you got?
Very small thing, but when I was at the press box at what we can now again call Cowboy Stadium, which is actually not called that, but it's what we called it when I was a kid. Anywho, there I had one of those like moments of someone rather too obviously like trying to like be chummy with me because of having been familiar with my face on their screen for one purpose or another, but the individual had a bit of a really telltale, like the most telltale tell that a person can have, that they're just like trying too hard. Because so, you know, I go to the press box, I get checked in by this, you know, older Texas gentleman, and I go to the bathroom, and when I come back in, this time he stops me. Like, oh, suddenly now he knows who I am. And he goes, "Hey, how you doing there? Man, it's so great that you're here." I'm like, "Oh, well, yeah, sure, yeah. Thanks, yeah. You know what? I loved you and We're the Millers." Here's the thing. Every once in a while, someone tells me, like, "Oh my God, I loved you and We're the Millers." And it's because they've gone to my IMDb page and they're looking for like something they've seen. Either they've seen Lasso. If they've seen Lasso, they didn't have to do that. They know who I am. But they're like, "Oh, We're the Millers. I saw that." I'm not in We're the Millers. I filmed a scene for We're the Millers. Even when we were shooting the scene, I was like, "This is not important to the story. This is going to get cut." And I was, it's fine, totally fine. These things happen. You can see me for literally like 1 second in the background, in the dark, doing a weird like John Cleese exit, like this big like leg, like walking away. You cannot see it's me. God, you do not know who I am. And so for him to be like so just syrupily, like, "Oh, you, We're the Millers. Man, you were great in that." Like, "Was I? Thank you." It's so
That's
sweet.
So funny. Oh, good stories.
You have more bits.
Yeah, I do. So just very quickly, one very half a bit. Yesterday, so I did the Seth Meyers show, as we've talked about, very exciting. But then I had to come and do something else. And I had to get there quickly. I was in a big rush for another situation. And I had no time at all. So I come out of Seth Meyers and the car's waiting for me. I get in the car. They're like, "It's going to take 15 minutes. I haven't got 15 minutes. Or it's 6 minutes. I've got 6 minutes. I've got to walk/run. So I'm running down, I don't know what avenue, a big avenue in New York City. party and I'm running and I'm in flip-flops. It's not a great look. I've got full hair and makeup. There's a lot of sweat going on. It's not great. Okay. I'm very stressed out. I've got to get to this place because I've only got 20 minutes. When I get there, then I've got to get somewhere else. And Weston McKennie walks past me, right? It was the most, it was a what? Like, eh? And I've been talking about Weston McKennie nonstop for 6 weeks. And so then I did a very embarrassing thing. So he walked past me, right? Cash as. I didn't know what to do. I can't let that moment pass. Like, I've been talking about it for 6 weeks. So I sort of turned around as he walked past and I just went, Weston! At which point, he turned and looked at me and I just kept walking. And I just went... and I just kept walking. I didn't even say anything.
For those listening and not watching, Rebecca just turned, I would say turned helplessly.
Yeah, helplessly.
Helplessly and gave a helpless shrug.
That was it, helpless shrug. What was that, Rebecca? I mean, you could have said anything. Although I...
Also could have said nothing.
I should have said nothing. Should have said definitely a reflection. But you know when you're like...
Did he reply?
No. No, he just turned back and I just kept walking. I just kept walking.
Oh, the indignity.
Poor Weston. He's like, who the hell was that? Just say, how dare they? Just say their name. And just, I said his name and then just kept walking. Because you know how quickly your brain works in those situations? For a second, I was like, should I say congratulations? I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should. I mean, I think congratulations are in order, but he might not think that. He might still be, you know. So then do I say commiserations? I can't say commiserations because then I'm undoing all the great work that they did. Mm-hmm. So I ended up with just saying nothing and walked on my way. So that was a awkward moment across whatever avenue I was in. So listeners and viewers, God, it makes me feel a bit ill thinking about it. I asked a few episodes ago for some ideas because it's coming soon. Yeah. The end of the world is coming soon. And I don't know how to really go re-entry, I think it's called.
To be more specific for people who may have missed it, the end of the world meaning, and not wrongly, the end of the World Cup and like the horrible feeling of anticlimax and depression and ennui that we all feel when a World Cup is over.
Yeah, the World Cup. The cup is an interchangeable word. It's still the end of the world. Okay, so I've had some suggestions.
Not the FIFA, though. Not the FIFA. Carry on.
I had a couple of FIFA texts. Oh, I had a couple of FIFA. The FIFA. You've done so well on the FIFA. Oh, I don't know what to say. Okay, so lots of people have written in. So kind. Thank you so much for all your suggestions. I've had to whittle it down to a few. Mountain. Going up a mountain is a theme. So Peter... Bike 4221, get out in nature with your family. He said, I went to Seattle to watch the US meltdown. Then I went up Mount Rainier the next day. And it was a tonic for my soul. The game's importance lost its power when under the glory and grace of that majestic mountain. And then Billy H 3198 said, I personally love the mountains outside Chiang Mai, Thailand. Mm. I mean, I could go there.
I don't want to be, you know, a stat nerd, but how many mountains have you climbed?
That'd be none. Oh. Big one in my career, though. Massive. But no mountains for me. Don't think I'm going to take you up, guys, but I love the suggestion to get out in nature. I will definitely go for a walk. Then we've had Evil Ski 1302. Rebecca, I hear there'll be a new season of a show that you can binge starting in early. Or I don't know what he's talking about. The Wire or something? West Wing, is it back?
Oh, yeah, The Wire, I believe.
Something like that. Something like that is back. August the 5th, I think it's back, but I don't know which one that is. Mm. And then post-World Cup letdown, says Lisa-07W, is painful, she said, but the Women's World Cup helps me move on. That's next summer.
Yeah.
So we can focus on the women.
But like, it's the first year that's the toughest, you know?
It's the first day, mate. I'll be honest with you.
For sure.
It's Monday.
For sure. But like, you know, but can't wait. It's going to be Brazil. It's going to be great.
One last little help from actually a friend of mine, Stacey, who has sent in this. Rebecca, we will be in World Cup withdrawals from that date as well. Our idea is to have you and the family over to our mobile pub at our home in our hometown. Invite your friends, share the stories and memories, but Brendan has to come too, telling me he'll need to fly to California. I said, well, it's okay, he lives there, but it's a little further away from where he lives. And also she sent me a picture of the mobile pub in the garden. I think that could be a bit of us, mate.
Sure.
A bit of us.
It feels like a bit of a... what's the word? Holding you hostage to agree to be like you can come for this, you know, this time of support that I'm here for you for, but also, oh, you got to bring your friend.
I think the invite is just me and you and absolutely not just being by myself. Love Stacey though, but she wants you there. She wants you there. Thank you, Stace. Thank you everybody for sending in all of your things. You may see me again. You may not. Who knows what happens after next week. Brendan, one more bit for us.
Have another bit. I'm wearing my New York Cosmos shirt. It was a gift. It says Pelé on the back, but I'm not like trying to taunt Argentinians or anything like that. I'm neither Argentinian or Spanish or Brazilian, but I'm in New York, so New York Cosmos shirt. I've recommended this before, recommend it again. There's a wonderful documentary. It's very short, called Once in a Lifetime, and it's about the heyday of the North American Soccer League in which New York Cosmos came to fame. Interviews with people who were there at the time, including some great interviews with Johan Cruyff, and highly recommend it. It's a great, diverting little watch. But one thing about it, you've talked about how you wish there was an alternative to penalty kicks.
Yeah.
There's a segment where they focus on what were the NASL version of penalty kicks, which is there's like a run-up, basically. It's more like a hockey you know, hockey penalty shot. And
is it from the halfway line?
I don't think it's from the halfway line. I think it's from like 30 yards.
The ball's on the spot? Or you're dribbling with the ball?
You're dribbling with the ball. Well, you can do whatever you want, but like you, the ball is like 30 yards out and you get, you know, 8 seconds or something like that. So you can either just go straight one-on-one, or do you try to chip the keeper, or do you try to shoot from far? And the one hand is like a little ridiculous, but it's also more football-y than penalty kicks. And they ask Johan Cruyff, like, what did you think of it? And Johan Cruyff, you know, dour Dutchman, goes, I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested that no one's really brought that back or tried that out, because it is more football-y.
I mean, MLS tried a bunch of weird things in their early days. Yeah, they have, haven't they? That must have been on the list. But
I'd like to see that. I'd like to give it a go.
Good little movie, regardless.
Talking of things we're wearing, I'm not sure I made the best decision today, 2 days after England got knocked out by Argentina.
By going the horizontal Argentina?
Well, yeah, that was an error by me.
No, it's fine. You're just betraying your nation.
Are we done?
I guess so. We got to rush. We got to get through this crowd that is just blocking all of Times Square as everyone prepares to watch the third place game on the big screen there in the great tradition.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Sorry, real quick side note. Did you know for the final there's going to be a watch party in Central Park with 70,000 people?
No.
70,000. Is that possible?
I mean,
that's what they said.
That sounds slightly better than trying to get to New Jersey.
Should we just do it there? Should we go there?
Yes.
I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. Fox will be fine with it.
Okay. Sure. After the whistle, we'll be back after the whistle of the World Cup final on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. We're both coming straight from the stadium. I mean, we could do it in the stadium, but we haven't had a great record with that. But we'll be
here. Don't know what you're referring to. Reminder, if you've enjoyed the show this season, please drop a review on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you so much. This is After the Whistle from Apple News. We have got one episode left, my friend.
Where we'll mostly talk about the third place game.
Because England will be third or fourth, but either way, who cares? It's such a great game.
Like, it's fine to just give two bronze medals.
Fine.
Just give two bronze medals.
Fine.
We're fine.